All right, Nehemiah chapter 1. Get your Bibles out. Nehemiah chapter 1. And I appreciate the invitation to be back once again with you folks. I always enjoy coming back to Bible Baptist Church. It's like coming home. And I always get to enjoy seeing friends again and always enjoy, especially Missions Conference. That's my favorite time of year, Missions Conference, and I love it. And I wish my wife could be here, but I know I appreciate those of you that have asked about her. She's back home and taking care of her mom, who's had a double lung transplant and has to take care of her every other week, 24/7. And so pray for her and for her mom as well. I'd appreciate that. And I'm going to do something here before we get into the message for some of the kids here. I still believe that God is calling people to the mission field. Do you believe that? Say amen if you believe that.
Amen.
All right, I'm going to work on you here. All right, so God called me when I was 15 years old, but began working in my heart when I was probably about 7 or 8 years old. And so I want to give out some T-shirts this week. How do you like that T-shirt? I'm a little biased. I think all missionaries should go to Africa, all right? That's just the way I think. But kids 12 and under, all right, I'm going to be giving out these T-shirts. And every service before I preach, I'm going to ask you a question, and you're not allowed to look at your phone or your mom's phone or your dad's phone for the answer. You can't check Google. The answer will be probably in the sermon, but you got to pay attention, all right? And so see Brother Lewis after I hired Brother Lewis for this weekend. See Brother Lewis, and he'll get you that T-shirt, and then maybe the Lord will call you to Africa, all right? Here am I, Lord, send me. So the question for tonight, 12 and under, is, where is it? How many countries are there in Africa? It is not a country. Africa is not a country. It is a continent. How many countries are there in Africa? I may get onto that somewhere in the message. See Brother Lewis after if you figure that out. And again, do not Google. All right. Nehemiah chapter 1, I appreciate the opportunity to preach this weekend. I will say this before we read our passage. I began praying about what to preach this weekend because I want to be a blessing to you folks. And I asked the Lord, what should I preach? And in fact, a couple of weeks ago, I was in the altar of my church praying and just asking the Lord, Lord, what would you have me to preach for this conference? And God interrupted my praying. Can you believe that? He interrupted while I was praying and directed me exactly where we need to be this weekend. And so I say that to say this, folks, God cares enough. Something's going to happen this weekend that God cares enough about this church and he cares enough about the world that needs to be reached with the gospel that he would impress upon some nobody up in Highland, Michigan while praying and asking, Lord, what would you have me to preach? God cares enough about this church and what's going to happen this weekend that he would actually lead me and guide me to this series of messages. So with my whole heart, I've studied, prayed, prepared for this conference, and I want these messages to be a help to you. And so Nehemiah chapter 1, and beginning in verse 1, let's read our passage as we begin. The words of Nehemiah, Nehemiah verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. And it came to pass in the month Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and fasted, and prayed before the God of heaven. Turn over to chapter 4, chapter 4, still in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 4, and verse 19. Nehemiah 4, verse 19. And I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large. and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. Tonight, and over this the course of this weekend, I'm going to be preaching right out of the book of Nehemiah. Tonight, tomorrow, and all day Sunday, preaching from Nehemiah. Tonight, I want to highlight the immensity of the work. The immensity of the work. And Nehemiah said, the work is great and large, and we are separated one far from another. Let's pray. Lord, it's good to be saved. It's good to be in church tonight, and I thank you for this time that you've given us to open your word and to once again wait with expectation for you to speak to us. I know, Lord, that you're going to honor your word. I pray that you would simply use me as a vessel through which you can speak, and I do pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in thy sight. I ask and pray it in your precious name. Amen. So first of all, why Nehemiah at a missions conference? Well, Nehemiah is a book about approaching a great work for God. It is a book about attempting a great work for God. And it's a book about accomplishing a great work for God. I would think that makes it pretty relevant to the subject of missions, don't you think so? Because isn't that what we're doing this weekend? We're going to approach this great work of missions. We're going to attempt a great work of God in the area of missions. And hopefully we're going to accomplish something great for the Lord. Nehemiah is a book about, do I even use this word? Work. Everybody okay? I know in America 2024, we struggle with that word sometimes. But the word work, all right? In fact, it's used 21 times in the book. And let me just give you a quick sample. It's spoken of in chapter 2, verse 16 as a definite work. In chapter 2, verse 18, it's spoken of as a good work. In chapter 3, verse 5, it's talked about as the work of the Lord. In chapter 4, verse 6, Nehemiah says it requires a mind to work. In chapter 6, verse 3, he calls it a great work. In chapter 6, again in verse 3, he says it's a work that cannot cease. And in chapter 6, verse 16, he says it's a work wrought of God. In chapter 7, he says it's a financially supported work. And in chapter 13, it's a forgotten or neglected work. Folks, isn't that missions? Missions is a good work. It's a definite work. It's a great work. It's a financially supported work, but often it is a neglected work. A neglected work. How is it that in this point in history, we could hear of a country that is still 98 to 99% Muslim and is not being reached with the gospel? Amen? Because we have neglected the work. But I'm thankful, as well in Nehemiah, it's a work that cannot cease. And amen, it's a work wrought of God. It's not something we're going to do in our own flesh. And I want to remind you here tonight, we're not here to discuss textbook theories. We're not here to philosophize about missions. This is not empty rhetoric, what we talk about here tonight. The things we discuss in this conference and the decisions, think about it, the decisions that could be made this weekend have real world effect. I mean, from what's done this weekend, souls could be reached with the gospel. Churches could be planted in distant lands. Young men could be trained in the ministry to preach and to pastor new churches, and new missionaries could be supported and sent out. Folks, this is a work that is worth our attention, isn't it? A work that needs to be done. Are you aware that missions is spoken of specifically as work? Keep your place there in Nehemiah. Go over to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, and we will be back to Nehemiah in just a second. But look at Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, verse 1, where we see these original missionaries being called out of the church at Antioch. And in Acts chapter 13, verse 1, if you're there, say amen. Amen. All right, Brother Dustin's there. I hear him back there. Chapter 13, verse 1. Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, and as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. Notice, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for what? For what? The work. Amen. The work whereunto I have called them. And so God took those who had already proven that they could work for God, and he called them to a specific work. Not just to write books about it, not just to sit around and discuss it, but to get up and to get out and to go off to distant lands and to do a work. And that's exactly what they did. Go over to chapter 14. Chapter 14, and you hear about this work. By the way, remember what Paul told Timothy when he talked about being a pastor? He said, if any man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a what? A good work. Amen. It's a good work to be called and to serve the Lord in the ministry. Acts chapter 14, verse 21. Acts 14, verse 21. Notice the work they do. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Doesn't that sound like work? They're traveling. They're preaching the gospel. They're training men to do the gospel ministry. They're planting churches. They're confirming believers. It is a work, because notice verse 26. Verse 26, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the what? Come on, say it with me. What is it? The work which they fulfilled. So God called them to a work. They went out and did a work. They got busy doing that work. And when they finished that missionary journey, they came back to their home church and told everybody about the work that they did. Folks, missions is a work. Look over at chapter 15. Chapter 15, even in retrospect, Paul looked back and he called it a work. Chapter 15 and verse 38. Verse 38. Acts 15:38. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to what? To the work. Amen. To the work. And so I'm just here to remind you folks tonight that what we're looking at here with missions and these countries that need to be reached, it is a work. And so you tie in the truth of that New Testament missions and the work that we're called to do, and you look again back at Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 19, and we read, I said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, the work. You see it? The work is what? It's great. The work is great. Don't you love it how the Old Testament and New Testament work together? The harvest truly is great. And Nehemiah says the work is great, because whatever it is that God calls you to do, that work is great. And it's large. He says the work is great and large. So those two things must not mean the same thing. It is important, but it is immense. It's an immense work that needs to be done. And so, I like this too. It says the work is great and large. And it says, and we are separated upon the wall. We are separated one far from another. Folks, is that not missions? I mean, look at your wall around here in this church. All these flags represent different countries where workers are living and serving and preaching the gospel. Can you not look around this room at these flags and these prayer letters and think about these missionaries and where they are and not say the work is great and large and we are separated one far from another, but each one is working on their part of the wall all around. But boy, isn't it a great work? Isn't it a large work? And I want you to, I say all that to get back to Nehemiah chapter 1, because it had to start somewhere. Where did the wall building start? Where did the work start? It started when someone confronted Nehemiah about the immensity of the work that needed to be done. And we find that in Nehemiah chapter 1, where Nehemiah is confronted and he finds out about this work that needs to be done and how great that work is. So go back again to Nehemiah chapter 1. I want you to notice how personal this is to Nehemiah. Because in verse 1, he says, "As I was." In verse 2, he says, "And I asked." And in verse 4, it says, "It came to pass when I heard." So in verse 1, it says, "As I was." I want you to notice, first of all, he was interrupted. He was interrupted. Nehemiah, as far as we know, he was raised in exile. This is the life he knew. He made his living as the cupbearer. Now, please understand, when we say the cupbearer, he's not just a butler, okay? He's not just the butler bringing the drink to the king. This was actually an exalted and very high-ranking position. So, you understand? Nehemiah is doing pretty well for himself. "As I was," where was he? He was in the palace. Sounds like a pretty cushy position, doesn't it? He was the cupbearer right next to the king. A good paying job. A comfortable position. But he says, "As I was," living in that place of comfort, living in that place of security. And folks, his future was set. He wasn't living in captivity. He wasn't living out in Jerusalem like Ezra and Zerubbabel and these others at that time. He was back in the palace. And he was comfortable, and he had a good job, and things were going well for him. And as far as Nehemiah was concerned, that was the rest of his life. He was going to live and die in the palace. He was going to retire from that job. Things were going to be good, and he would live out the rest of his life in that palace. But he got a visitor one day. A man by the name of Hanani, a brother of his, interrupted and changed the course of his life, because all of a sudden he's shaken from this place of comfort and security. And Hanani sits down and tells him about the city of Jerusalem, and they're in great distress. They're in great affliction. The walls are broken down. The gates are burned up. Folks, it was an interruption in his life, was it not? Interrupted. Folks, let's just be clear. This missions conference is purposely meant to be an interruption. Amen. Because I can tell you, we're getting comfortable. We're getting comfortable in America. And like Nehemiah, we become complacent in our palace, in our comfort, in our life. But the Bible says, "As I was," and God interrupted. And who did God use to interrupt? He used a brother. He says, "One of my brethren," verse 2, Hanani, "one of my brethren came and interrupted the preacher, the missionaries, your pastor." What is the purpose of this weekend? What is the purpose of this missions conference? But to be an interruption, to kind of shake us, to stir us. Folks, isn't it so easy? We're kind of getting in our routine. We're going through life, we kind of got our jobs figured out and our homes figured out and finances figured out, but God wants to interrupt. Amen. He wants to get our attention. He doesn't want us to settle in and just put it in coast and just put it in neutral and just allow things to go as they were. God's trying to shake us up. God's trying to interrupt, because if he doesn't interrupt, what happens? Like Nehemiah, we just continue on in the palace. But Hanani came, and he interrupted, and he told Nehemiah, "They're in great distress. They need someone. They need help. They need a leader. Boy, it's that Macedonian call. Come over into Macedonia and help us." Hanani is that one who's just come from that far distant place, and he's telling Nehemiah, "It's a mess over there. And people are in reproach and in great affliction. They need somebody." And folks, we need to be interrupted. We need to be reminded. Have you not realized we're now over 8 billion people on this planet? I mean, 1.5 billion people in India, 1.4 billion people in China. There's 195 countries to be reached out there. There are 7,000 languages that are spoken around the world, and we kind of kick back and say, well, we're doing a great work for God, but how much more needs to be done? I mean, Brother Ray is here, and he's presenting South America. Nobody's representing Africa, so I'm going to speak for Africa tonight, all right? 54 countries in Africa, not just one continent, but all of these countries that need to be individually reached with the gospel. And people talk about India, and they talk about China, and they talk about those high population areas. Do you know in Lagos, Nigeria, there are 9 million people in one city? Kinshasa, Congo, been there. Your pastor's been there. Your pastor's wife's been there. 8 million people. 8 million in one country. And yet how many people are talking about Lagos, Nigeria? How many people are talking about Kinshasa, Congo? 1.4 billion people on the continent of Africa. 8 million in the city of Cairo, Egypt. We're talking about millions of people. Who's reaching them? And folks, God's blessed America. We are rich. We are the most prosperous nation. We are the strongest nation. We are the freest nation. And folks, don't sit back and get comfortable. Let God interrupt. Let God stir. Let God get our attention back where it needs to be, lest we put it in coast and forget these things. Because as I remember, and I'm not that old, I don't know who Jim Jones is, all right? I'm not that old. Brother Lewis and I, we looked at each other and said, what are you talking about? But I know well enough to realize that there was a time when churches in America were filled with evangelistic fervor, where churches were on fire with sending out missionaries all across the world. American churches were excited about missions and were sending out missionaries, and young people were getting called, and folks were supporting and excited about missions. But America has retreated into itself. And we're not talking about foreign lands being reached with the gospel. We're talking about ourselves and our own current affairs. And we're only worried about our problems, our comforts, and we've lost that fire and that fervor. We, like Nehemiah, are kind of comfortable in the palace. And we're content to live out our lives in comfort and convenience. But the Lord, again and again, wants to interrupt. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. Look on the fields. He was interrupted. And then notice verse 2. In verse 1 he says, as I was, he was interrupted. In verse 2 he says, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked. He was inquisitive. Nehemiah wanted to know. He didn't just listen to the report from Hanani and casually pick up his cup as the cupbearer and go right back to work. He didn't just clock out for the day and say, well, thanks Hanani for the info, and head back home. It stopped him in his tracks, and it arrested his attention, and he sat with Hanani and he asked. He said, tell me more. He said, what's going on in Jerusalem? What's going on in the country? What are they doing? How are they handling these things? Who's living in the city? Is there any work being done to rebuild those walls? Is there any security at the gates? How are they protecting them? And he asked, he peppered them with questions. He wanted to know. There was a desire, there was an intent, there was an intensity within him that he took an interest. And he didn't have Google, and he didn't have Facebook, and he didn't have the news. He relied on first-hand information from Hanani. Hey, I want to encourage you. It's already been said tonight. I don't know if you picked up on it. Talk to the missionaries. Talk to Brother Bolts. Get to know about Guyana. These are interesting mission fields, and these are mission fields that need to be reached. Find out. I mean, have an interest. You understand what I'm saying? Have an interest. Find out. Go around and read the prayer letters of your missionaries. When you find a country that sparks your interest, jump online. Start finding out all the facts about that mission field. Find out what language they speak. Find out about their culture. Have an interest in missions and get to know these missionaries on this weekend. And by the end of the weekend, you ought to know something about Guyana. You ought to know these missionaries. He was inquisitive. And then I want you to notice verse 4. And it came to pass when I heard. The last thing I notice here is that he was influenced. It affected him. And the effect of this conversation, the effect of this time that he spent with Hanani, their words had an effect on Nehemiah. And folks, I'm telling you, read verse 4 again. Again, just in context of what we understand about Nehemiah and in context about what you... We're not trying to build a wall, okay? We're not trying to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. What are we trying to do? We are trying to reach foreign mission fields with the gospel of Jesus Christ because folks are dying without Christ and going to hell. And some of these countries, there are people that are saved, but they don't have a church. They don't have a pastor. They don't have anyone to love on them and to lead them in a walk with God. They don't have anyone to instruct them. Some of these countries have young men that know their own people need to be reached, but they don't know how to do it. They don't know how to study the Bible. They don't know how to get up and teach and preach a message. They don't know how to do that. They need someone to come and teach them and instruct them. But that was one of the most enjoyable things on the mission field, was sitting down with young men and that never heard it and never learned it, and you take them through the Bible and you see the light in their eyes and the spark there, because now they can understand and they can go and teach their own people. That's the wall we're building. That's where our focus ought to be. Oh, I'm telling you what, America in 2024, we are so caught up in so many things within our own country, and the world is perishing without Christ. And the devil says, I got you Christians distracted. Focus. Let God interrupt. Let God get your attention. And let it affect you. Every time I watch a video... Every time I see pictures, I'm like, I'll go. I want to go. Brother Bolts, I hear him talking about Guyana. I've seen the pictures of his church. We took them on for support this year. And I watch those pictures and I hear his testimonies. And I'm saying, take me. I want to go. Those things ought to affect you. You ought to want to go. You say, I can't go. But you ought to want to go. I mean, it ought to affect your heart in such a way that you can say honestly before the Lord, Lord, I can't go, but I sure would like to go. But because I can't go, I want to send someone and support missions. It ought to affect you. And again, look at verse 4. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down. I mean, it physically affected him. He said, I can't even stand. He sat down. And what? And wept. And it wasn't just a quick, emotional, passing moment. Because then it says, and mourned certain days. Because often, folks, hey, I've been at missions conference, I've been at teen meetings, I've been at church services where a message is preached and it causes an emotional reaction for the moment, but that's not what we're talking about. Yes, it caused an emotional reaction for the moment, but it says, and mourned certain days, because he carried it with him. And then it says, and fasted, and prayed before the God of heaven. Now, I know fasting is a lost practice in America today, but I'd encourage every Christian to do it, because there are some things worth fasting over. Fast over your church. Fast over the fact that more people need to get saved in Bysville and Cambridge. Fast for your pastor and your assistant pastor in the work that they do in trying to pastor and lead and reach this community. Fast over these missionaries. Fast over this missions conference. Fast for missionaries that need to get to the field. Fast. I mean, take that faith promise card and pray and fast. Show God how much it means to you. Show God how important it is to you. Pray and fast. It was that important. And he prayed before the God of heaven. Folks, what Nehemiah heard, what the account that Hannah and I brought to him, the report, it drove him to prayer and fasting when he was confronted with the immensity of the work. Now again, folks, at this moment, we'll get into this tomorrow night. We're going to pick up right here tomorrow night. We're going to get into what God did in Nehemiah's heart. But at this moment, Nehemiah doesn't have any plans to go and rebuild the wall. He doesn't know yet that that's God's plan. He just sees a need. He just is burdened by the report. And he begins to pray and he begins to fast because he hears about this wall that needs to be rebuilt and the security that needs to come into Jerusalem and the rebuilding of the people and the revival that needs to take place in those people turning to God. And just what he hears influenced him. And he began to pray and he began to fast and he wept. Folks, it's so easy for us to approach a missions conference and to attend a missions conference, but never be affected by the missions conference. Right? Amen? It's so easy for us to come in and sit and listen and leave and say, boy, that was a good report from Turkey, good report from South America. That was a good message. Yeah, we enjoyed that. But don't just leave unchanged. Get something. Gain something tonight that you can take home and pray over. Take something tonight. If nothing else, take that faith promise card and take it home and lay it on your coffee table and lay it beside your bed and get down and say, God, what can I do? Let it affect you. And maybe you need to pause and shut off the TV and put the phone away. And begin seeking the Lord and say, God, arrest my attention. God, soften my heart. And Nehemiah heard, the wall's broken. The gates are burned. The people are in great affliction. And he saw that immense work. And again, I don't believe yet God had called him to do that work, but he saw the need. It began somewhere, didn't it? He saw that need and he says, somebody's got to go. Somebody's got to build up that wall. Somebody's got to bring those people back to God. Don't be calloused. Don't be calloused. Let your heart be affected by what you hear and see this weekend. Let your thoughts begin to churn and start thinking about these mission fields. Let your mind be affected by what you see and by what you hear tonight. There's no telling what God could do. Hey, wouldn't it be great if somebody got called to a mission field this weekend? Hey, man, that'd be worth it. Wouldn't it be great as a result of this meeting, somebody went to a mission field and won some people to Christ? Eternity in heaven with the Lord? Wouldn't it be great as a result of this meeting, a missionary makes it to a field and plants a church and trains some preachers for the mission field? Wouldn't that be an exciting thing? Amen. Folks, don't be calloused. Let it affect you. Let God speak to you. Let God influence you through these messages. Let's stand as we close tonight.